We're glad you're here, and we're going to finish. This is part two of the lesson that we began last Lord's Day evening. Why do we need salvation and forgiveness of sins? It seems like an obvious, or seems the answer seems obvious to the question, but we have, it implies other important questions, like what are the consequences of sin, and why do people need forgiveness? And is the gospel such that one may overcome the guilt and the fear and the alienation and the eternal punishment that is associated with and brought by our sinning against God? Sometimes we fail to see our need for things that would really benefit us. And in other times, we can lose appreciation for the things that we do have. The old saying goes, and is true, sometimes we cannot miss what we've never had. And so sometimes it is the case that people who are living in sin with no thought of the gospel don't realize the necessity of it and the peace of mind that can come from being a New Testament Christian. They don't think about it. They don't realize what a blessing it is to be able to call on God, our Father, and say, "Forgive me, Lord," knowing that He will hear us and that He will forgive us. Sometimes it's hard for those of us who are saved to appreciate the blessedness of forgiveness in a manner that we should. And that's why we see in the Old Testament the illustration of the children of Israel being in Hebrew bondage, or in Egyptian bondage rather, and how that freedom, at least until they started suffering trials in the wilderness, was so important and so vital to them. In fact, that is why the Old Testament was written. When Moses was on Mount Sinai, he began writing the book of Genesis. And it was being written to a people who had lost their freedom. They had been slaves. They had been imprisoned for all those many years. And they had lost their identity. And so Moses wrote to tell them that, hey, there is a God in heaven, and He created us. We're not animals. We're not insignificant. God saw to it, and God saw fit to create us in His image. Those people had lost that notion. They were viewing themselves on the same level as brute beasts because that's the way they had been treated. And so Moses begins writing the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Old Testament, to give the Hebrews back some sense of identity and a sense of responsibility to the God of heaven. Okay, we liken that bondage in Egypt to the bondage that you and I experienced when we were slaves to sin. We lost our identity. We lost our sense of worth, our sense of value. We forgot that we were created in the image of God, and as we pay taxes to Caesar because His image was on the coin, we forgot to render ourselves unto God because we were rendering ourselves to Satan. The gospel brings us back. It is the way. Just like the Israel or the Hebrew nation were on a way out of Egypt, Our way out of the bondage of sin is the way of the cross, which leads us home. And so the purpose of this study is to help us to appreciate more fully the gift that all of us need, but sometimes fail to appreciate, the forgiveness of sins. Now, last Lord's Day evening, we looked at some of the consequences of sin. Specifically, it separates us from God, Isaiah 59, 1 and 2. Sometimes because of sin, there is an alienation between loved ones. Jesus said, I come not to bring peace, but a sword. And thine enemies will be they of thine own household sometimes. And it is the case that sometimes families are split apart, and always it's because of religion, isn't it? But it's not because of religion. It's not because of Christianity that families separate. It's because of worldliness. That's like blaming the person who was going the speed limit and obeying all the laws for causing a traffic jam. It's not the one who's doing what he's supposed to do. It's the ones who are not doing what they are supposed to do. Thirdly, our sin causes, among these other things, a loss of self-respect. As I mentioned a moment ago, the Hebrew children lost their self-respect, their sense of identity. Because of their bondage, we lose our sense of identity and self-respect because of sin. We're created in the image of God. We start doing things that are ungodly. Thus, we lose our identity as creatures created in God's image. And fourth, and the one that, well, I think we only got to the three, but the fourth one we will look at the close of this lesson, God willing, and you'll have to excuse me for just a second. I got dry this morning, and I've been dry all day. So the thing we want to look at first this evening, as far as why do we need forgiveness of our sins, because of the burden of guilt. Guilt is a terrible shroud to have pulled over our heads. Adam and Eve hid themselves from God because he was afraid. After his and Eve's sin in the garden, they realized that they were naked and they hid themselves because of their guilt. When David had committed that awful sin with Bathsheba and subsequently ordered and perpetuated the murder of her husband Uriah, he groaned because the burden of his sin was too heavy to bear. In Psalm 38, David writes in relation to this, there is no soundness in my flesh because of thine anger. He's speaking to God, of course. Neither is there any rest in my bones because of my sin. For mine iniquities are gone over mine head as an heavy burden. They are too heavy for me. My wounds stink and are corrupt because of my foolishness. I am troubled. I am bowed down greatly. I go mourning all the day. For my loins are filled with a loathsome disease, and there is no soundness in my flesh. I am feeble and sore broken. I have roared by reason of the disquietness of my heart. Yeah, there's a man who is tortured by the guilt of his sins. And he went to the only place he could go. He went to God. Our brother read in our hearing just a moment ago, another man who was racked with guilt because of his sin. Judas's guilt drove him to the unthinkable. He committed suicide. Others turned to drink and drugs, complete moral abandon to escape the reality of their sin guilt. And Judas was no exception. He had betrayed his Lord in the unkindest way. And he handled it in the worst way possible. Did you ever think about the contrast between Judas and Peter? Peter denied the Lord three times. Peter went out and wept bitterly and prayed. He handled it the right way. Judas did not. The guilt was too much for him. The shame, knowing that he was responsible for the death of the sinless Son of God. Sin wounds our conscience and our pride, and many people live year after year carrying that guilt of burden like a heavy load, not knowing what or if there's anything to do to make right. That's where you and I come in. It's our jobs to try to help sinners know that there is a way out from underneath the burden of sin and the weight that it presses down upon us with. I think of the people trapped under that building in Florida, if there are any alive. They feel a great weight. They feel a burden. And as tragic and as horrible as that is, the burden of sin is infinitely heavier, though we don't realize it. Because a dead man has no feeling, does he? If we were to put a 500-pound weight on the chest of a dead man, would he feel? Would he groan under the weight? No, he wouldn't, because he's dead. And people who do not feel the weight of their sin, even though it's there, they don't feel the weight of their sin because they're dead spiritually. But to us who have a conscience that has been tuned and tweaked by the Word of God, when we sin, we feel bad, and we should. But we should also know that our God wants to forgive us. We should know that God is faithful and just, and He will help us get out from underneath that burden of sin if we would turn to Him in His way and in His time. And then we can rejoice, and we should. Because forgiveness is what helps us to restore our innocence. I'm sure everyone in here can say with me that there are some things I wish I did not know. That's innocence lost. But we can restore that. There was a time, especially when I was working construction and when I was on the road with the band, that I would hear language that should have embarrassed me and angered me. But it didn't, because for a time I was calloused to it. And now I can't stand it. I have regained that consciousness. Maybe it's akin to picking the scab off of a wound, but I'm glad that it offends me. And I would be ashamed that if I could hear the language, especially on some of these TV shows and even radio nowadays, I'm glad it offends me, and I rue the day that I ever become callous to it again. So we talked about David's sin and his guilt, feeling that guilt. But David pled for his sins to be blotted out in the 51st Psalm. Verses 1 through 3. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Notice nothing so far is about David's former righteousness or anything good that he had done. It's all according to God's loving kindness and to God's tender mercy. And then in verse 2 he says, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin, for I acknowledge my transgression and my sin is ever before me. David's life had changed because when he committed that sin, from then on there will never be a time that he did not commit that sin or that he had not committed that sin. It was in his permanent record. You teachers used to scare us students, reminding us that things would be on our permanent record someday. I don't know where that record is, but I hope mine burned up with the when the school burned down. The sin I've committed, I committed. If I harmed someone, they're harmed. That's a memory that will always have been there. David said, I acknowledge my transgression and my sin is ever before me. And then jump down to verses 7 through 10. He asked, purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Hyssop would have acted as a scrub brush. And so he's speaking poetically here, as though sins can be physically washed from us. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins and blot out all mine iniquities. David was so ashamed of his sin, he was ashamed that God could look down and know what he had done. Just like you don't want certain people that you love and admire and respect, you don't want to make mistakes in front of them. Oh, one of the things that scared me the most when I was trying to be a professional musician was making a mistake when one of the big guys was watching me, because it embarrassed me. Hide your ears from my mistakes. You know, that was my hope on stage. But he's saying, God, hide your face from my sins and blot out mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. That's what we want. That's what we desire. And that's what we'll get as long as we live godly lives. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 36 and following, Peter preaching on the day of Pentecost, and he let those Jews know, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and they said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said, repent, every one of you, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. The people who crucified Jesus were convicted by the preaching of the gospel, and Peter said they could have the remission of sins, the forgiveness of sins, if they would but repent and be baptized. Why didn't he tell them to believe? Well, they were already believers. These were faithful and devout Jews. They believed in the God of heaven. And because of the preaching of the gospel, they thus believed that Jesus Christ was the Son of the living God. And so the next logical step for them to do was to repent of their sins, namely the sin of murdering Jesus Christ. And then to have their sins spiritually washed away, to remove the guilt, the sin guilt, they had to be immersed in water for that forgiveness. And the burden of guilt can be replaced with a beautiful sense of innocence through the blood of Jesus Christ. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Matthew 11, 28. Do you want this blessing? If you've received it, do you still behave as if you appreciate it? We need salvation and the forgiveness of sins because of the burden of guilt. All right, next. We need salvation and forgiveness of sins because of the loss of joy and hope that we had. Sin can cause us to be fearful. It can cause us grief. And it can implant within us a sense of utter hopelessness. In Genesis 3, 7 through 10, Adam was afraid and he hid from God because he knew God would punish him for sin. Yet, hiding from God was no solution, was it? He was hiding, yes, from the one he had offended, but he was also hiding from the only one that could help him. And so we see he was cutting off his nose to spite his face. Sinners fear death, for after it comes the judgment and eternal punishment, if it's not forgiven. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. We know from 2 Thessalonians 1, 8 through 9, that the Lord shall return with his mighty angels with him in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and who obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. As David said in Psalm 38, sin makes us sad. He said, I go mourning all the day. That's M-O-U-R-N-I-N-G. He's mourning. Perhaps he's mourning the death of his soul. He is mourning the severance of the relationship between he and Jehovah God. And in Matthew 26, 75, Peter wept bitterly after he denied Christ, as we mentioned a while back. Paul wrote to the Ephesian brethren that they, while they were sinners, they were without hope and without God in the world. That's the most desperate situation I can imagine. They may wish for eternal life, but the destiny of the unforgiven sinner is eternal punishment instead. And they have no hope if they are not in Christ. People who know they are guilty of sin often spend sleepless hours worrying about their eternal destiny. Some good-hearted, well-meaning brethren worry about the severity of their sins versus the forgiving nature of our God. And that's a dichotomy that I try to explain, that if a person is so remorseful over their sin that they worry about it, then they are... they've been forgiven then. If they've done what the Bible says to do, if they've repented, and if they've been baptized. And then, of course, once we're baptized, we sin again. We don't need to be baptized again. We simply pray to God to forgive us. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, continues to cleanse us from all sin. 1 John 1:7. Trust in the forgiving nature of Jehovah God. And the proof that I give you is what the Bible says. Repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of sins. But what if I've sinned a bunch since I was baptized? Pray to God that perhaps the thoughts of thine heart shall be forgiven you, was the words that Philip told somebody, I can't think right now who it was. Simon the sorcerer, that's who it was. In Acts chapter 8. Give God some credit. Pray like it all depends on you. And have the faith in God that it all depends on him. Forgiveness, as opposed to sin, gives hope and joy. We turn back to the 51st Psalm and read verses 8 and 12. David pleads, "Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice." And then verse 12, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit." The joy of salvation. That's what we want to experience, my brethren, my friends. If you've been forgiven of your sins, then live your life in the joy of salvation. Don't live under the cloak of sin's past. You owe it to yourself to be different than that. Let God forgive you and let the sin go. We are restored to that hope by forgiveness. The hope by which we are saved, Romans 8, 24. The hope by which we are justified in faith, Romans 5, 1 and 2. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God, Philippians chapter 4. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. The Bible says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively," or a living, "hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." See, everything is alive here. A living hope. The resurrection of Christ from the dead. According to his abundant, his living mercy, and that living hope. So from resurrection of Jesus from the dead, verse 4, "to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved for us in heaven." Being born again, we have this living, or this alive, hope of an undefiled and incorruptible inheritance that is reserved for us in heaven. It cannot be taken away. It will not erode. And so I ask you tonight, do you have this hope? And if you do, do you appreciate it? And finally, the obvious answer to the question, why do I need the forgiveness of sins? It's because of the loss of eternal life. Sin leads to punishment. That punishment is death. It's appointed unto man to die once, but we do not have to die what John called the second death, that eternity in a lake of fire, an eternity of eternal torment. You take the worst day of your life thus far, multiply it by infinity, and that doesn't scratch the surface of an eternity in hell. And someday we'll wake up and realize that our souls have left the body. And then what will we do? We'll go to heaven or we'll go to hell. And there'll be no changing it. There'll be no second chance. Our second chances are here and now. We find in Matthew 25, 41 that the wicked will go away into eternal fire that has been prepared for the devil and his angels. Hell wasn't prepared for you and me. Heaven was prepared for you and me. That's where Jesus said he was going to go in John 14. "I go to prepare a place for you. I go to prepare a place for you." See, hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. We're not supposed to go to hell. It was never in God's desire or his will or his plan for you or me to go to hell. He wants us to go to heaven. It is not God's will that any should perish, but that all might come to repentance. The everlasting punishment, the destiny that awaits the lost, is so unnecessary. It doesn't have to be that way, because there is a solution to the problem. Forgiveness leads to eternal life. Sin leads to punishment. Forgiveness leads to eternal life. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Titus 3:7, Paul writes that we are to be heirs of the hope of eternal life, and to do that, we must be justified by God's grace. Sin is the problem in this life. Yet the problems it causes after this life are far greater. Sin in this world can cost us, at most, guilt, incarceration, disease, and death of the body. That's it. But unforgiven sins that we carry to the grave will cost us the eternal soul. And it's so unnecessary. Sin puts an impassable barrier between us and the spiritual blessings of God. And that's a barrier that you and I cannot breach on our own. The only way to take care of that is to have that barrier broken down by the blood of Jesus Christ. And that's exactly what he did. He tore down that middle wall of partition which separated Jew and Gentile, but it is also a middle wall that separated us from eternal blessings. And by his mercy, God offers forgiveness of sins to all men, Titus 2, verse 11. The grace of God that brings salvation hath appeared unto all men. And to receive it, you and I must meet God's conditions. And his conditions are not grievous. He simply asks us to do what he says. And he has given us very plain instruction with regard to salvation and the forgiveness of our sins and the joy that can be ours. The joy of salvation. That's why we need forgiveness of sins. And that's why it took the blood of Jesus Christ, because for us to have eternal life, we must come in contact with that eternal blood, the blood of Jesus Christ. The life is in the blood, Leviticus 17:11. And the blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse us from our sins as long as we walk in the light as he is in the light. If you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you are willing to repent of your sins and confess his name, we are just as willing to assist you with your immersion in water for the forgiveness of your sins. If you've done that but you've not been faithful, perhaps you've taken for granted the blessings of God and you've forgotten about these things, perhaps you need to be restored to the fellowship of the saints. It's our duty to offer you that assistance as well, and we will pray for you and pray with you. We'll do what it takes to get you on the right road so that you too can have the forgiveness of sins and will know for eternity the joy of salvation. If you're subject to the Lord's invitation, please come right now as we stand and sing.